Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 118 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Viscardian. As always, I am joined by Christian Hoffer and not Megan Peters today. She had some other stuff to take care of. And so it's just going to be the two of us. Christian Hoffer, for those who are watching live, we do the show live every Monday noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Christian is doing it from the car. He is on the road, so there is no camera. You don't get to see Christian driving, but we are plugged into his ears, and he is ready to tag team Pokemon News with me, your favorite host.
I am here. You can't see me, but I'm wearing my Slowpoke Hawaiian shirt. I have, you know, I've got my full like vacation hair going on right now. It's pretty glorious.
Nice.
So I'm ready to do this. I was born ready. You know, I've been totally unplugged from the internet for the last like 4 days, so I have no idea what's going on. But yeah, let's talk about some Pokemon news.
Let's do it. It's a bit of a shorter It'll be probably a bit of a shorter show just because there wasn't a terrible amount of news this week. Just a lot of other things that, you know, we can a lot of things like more reactions to stuff that kind of happened or have been brewing over the last couple weeks. Obviously, we're going to talk about Niantic responding to a lot of the Pokemon Go criticism.
Yeah.
That has come after a lot of the changes that they made. So we have a bit of that. There is a pretty cool update coming to that game. It kind of feels like it's happening at the worst time, basically, for something like this, because this is something I think fans have been waiting a long time for. Now that it's happening, everyone is like, nope, not playing. So we've got a bit of that. We'll talk about the big balance update that came to Pokemon Unite. I'm curious to see what Christian thinks about that and what folks in the chat are thinking about it, because I know a lot of folks have been playing that. And then we'll have some Pokemon merch stuff. I just got in the mail some bargoed for this Friday, so we'll probably go through it next week. But Evolving Skies is in my hands.
Does that come out this Friday?
No, I don't think it comes out this Friday, but the embargo, I think it comes out a week from this Friday. Let me see. Now I'm pulling it up for us. Evolving Skies release date is August 27th.
Nice. Okay.
So the end of August. So
I thought we had a few more weeks until that came out, because, you know, once again, like I said, totally unplugged from the internet. I've not been like online at all, so who knows? But I was like, man, that's early. I feel like that's early.
Yeah, I got a booster box as well. So like I said, we got plenty for us to go through in the next couple of days.
Jim, quick question.
Yeah.
Did they?
I did not get the Pokemon Center exclusive.
Did they send you, like, did their box? And if nice. That is exactly what I was going to ask.
Yeah, I just got the regular one. So, okay. So here we go. Let's start with the new Pokemon Snap stuff. We're going to do a deeper dive next week because, like I said, Christian's been on vacation. I haven't had enough time to really dive into it because I've been playing through a bunch of just trying to get a handle on the Unite, the changes that came to Unite. But we'll go through that. But basically, like we've mentioned before, I think the general consensus is it's great. It's awesome. And so I'm excited to dive in a bit to that more. There are some nice fun surprises into that, but you know, you'll get our deep dive into that next week. So we just wanted to make sure if you have not gotten it yet, you know, I mean, what are you waiting for? Go get the update. But to, you know, like what we talked about last week, this is a great addition to the game, one that we kind of expected but didn't necessarily expect the amount that we got. So that's really the big thing though that I want to mention, you know, that's coming to Pokemon Go is we're getting the Sword and Shield legendaries, Zacian and Zamazenta, finally making their way into Pokemon Go. And I feel like this should be should be a bigger deal than it is.
Well, everything about this is weird. So, you know, I'm really confused by this. So, one, the timing, you know, they only announced it because they're getting a lot of flack for their distance, their changes. So they released it on a weird day. And also, they just skipped over all of the Alola Pokemon. Like, everyone was expecting Gen 7, and suddenly they add Zacian and Zamazenta instead, which makes no sense whatsoever. And Squovit and Wooloo are the other two. And so, like, none of this makes any sense.
Well, I can kind of see why they skipped the Alolan Pokemon right now, because there's such a, I don't want to say fervor, right? But like the Sword and Shield stuff is still super fresh. It looks like they're planning on sticking around in this, you know, like with the Galar region, especially because of journeys and things like that. So as far as relevancy goes, it makes way more sense for them to release Zacian and Zamazenta now than to go back to Alola. I think we'll still get Alola, but like we're so far past that game wise, anime wise, relevancy wise that like let's, you know, we don't have to go in order.
When has Pokemon Go ever done anything super relevant, you know, based on the relevancy of like the Pokemon franchise, the wider Pokemon franchise?
Maybe they're learning.
We don't even have all the Gen 6 legendaries. They probably don't know what they're doing with Zygarde yet.
But we got like Galarian variants ahead of a bunch of Alolan Pokemon.
We had Alolan variants show up before that. And you know, actually was a tie-in with Pokemon Sun and Moon. Or maybe it was Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. I forget the timing of that exactly. It was Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. But no, it makes no sense. I'm just going to say it. It makes no sense whatsoever. I remember I got the like Twitter alert saying it was coming. And I was just like, really? And don't get me wrong. I'm going to do it. I don't have a permanent Zamazenta in my collection. So I'm going to get the Zamazenta, I'm going to stick it in Pokemon Ho, and I'm going to check another one off my list. but other than that, like this is the only logical thing that I could think of as to why they are doing this specifically is that the Pokemon company usually does some sort of giveaway for the mascot legendaries. They do a distribution. Yeah. Usually it's a shiny distribution, but they do some sort of distribution so that players who don't have access to the other game, so like if you bought Pokemon Sun and you don't have access to Pokemon Moon, you can go and get Lunala into your game. And they do this usually through GameStop and things like that. And they have not been doing these distributions. Like, we don't really, you know, we've only had the one Zaroo distribution, and it was done through the Pokemon Trainer Club, and like nobody got it because
that was such a cluster.
They botched the distribution, as they always do with Pokemon's Trainer Club. So my only thought process is maybe the Pokemon company put a little bit of pressure on Niantic or worked it out with Niantic as kind of an unofficial way to get Zamazenta and Zacian in the hands of players who don't have access to those Pokemon in their Pokemon Sword and Shield games. That was the only thing I could think of. Because otherwise...
I mean, that makes sense.
I mean, yeah, thank you. That's I mean, the job of the Pokemon marketing team for them.
I mean, that, but also, but like you just said, well, this doesn't make sense, and then came up with a perfectly good reason for it to make sense, if that's what they're, I mean, that's if that's what they're doing. But I think also too, right? Like, there are way more, and correct me if I'm wrong, but way more like legendaries in Sun and Moon than there are in, with the exception of, I guess, the added Calyrexes and and I guess like the Urshifus and whatever. But like, I mean, there's all the Tapus, right?
Yeah.
And so like that, so there's what, four of them. And then you've got, you know, you've got Cosmog and what, the Necrozma, Marshadow, and crap, what's the white one?
Marshadow is a mythical Pokemon.
Right, okay. Majurna, that's what I'm thinking of.
So there's about the same. So, you know, you have the four Tapus, you have Lunala, and this is the other thing. Yeah, and
Solgaleo.
My possible thought is that the issue here is, sorry, my wife has to run to the back. that's why you heard some beeping. But my thought is maybe they skipped over the Alola Pokemon because Solgaleo and Lunala technically evolve. And so they don't know, should they try to do a full evolutionary line like they did in the main series games? I mean, obviously you will eventually be able to get a Cosmog that evolves into it. But maybe they haven't worked that out yet, and they wanted to do something big for the Ultra Unlock, or because they needed to do something to try to placate the Pokemon Go community, because they ticked everybody off, and rightfully so.
Right.
Everyone's ticked off for very good reasons, and this is, you know, the next best thing, because the mascot legendaries are always a big deal. They're a bigger deal than the secondary legendaries, which like the Tapus are. And so this is what they came up with. And I think, and honestly, because the main series games, you know, around this time, the legendaries, you know, they start introducing some weird mechanics to the legendary Pokemon. You have Zygarde, which, you know, Zygarde has four different forms.
But we know they can handle forms because they handle forms with, oh God. Why am I having such a brain fart this morning?
They've done forms with Deerling. I mean, they've done forms in the game, but this is different because, you know, the Zygarde, you have the Zygarde course, you know, so you have like 1% Zygarde, you have the 10% Zygarde, which is the one that looks like a dog, you have the 50%, which is the serpent, and then you have the 100%, or I forget, like the full form, or whatever they call the 100% Zygarde, which is, you know, Zygarde as a mecha. And all four of those have different stats. This isn't like Deerling and Salzbuck, where it's the same Pokemon.
I was thinking a Giratina.
And Giratina does have different forms, and so do the Therian Pokemon, but this is literally four different forms, all with radically different stats, radically different movesets. So I think that might be the holdup on Zygarde. And then you've got, you know, Solgaleo and Lunala, which both have...
their Ultra Forms.
But they don't actually have Ultra Forms. No, they don't have Ultra Forms. They have they do have variant forms. I think, like, they have, like, basically, like, a charged-up form or something like that. But they have an evolutionary line, which is not something that the legendary Pokemon usually have up until this point. So maybe that's why they skipped it. I'm literally trying to do some, like... you know, theorizing, like theory crafting as to why we're getting Zamazenta and Zacian in the game way out of thing. Because we have like 70 Pokemon not, and then there's the Ultra Beast. Who knows what they're going to do with the Ultra Beast? Although I think that Pokemon Go could like do that. That will be next year's. If I had to take a guess personally,
Go Fest.
I think that will be next year's Go Fest. Because you could do a full storyline with like the Ultra Beast like invading our world and stuff like that. That would be a really cool one to do. Supposing that anyone plays this game anymore by the time the next year rolls around.
I mean, yeah. I mean, like, I think also too, the interesting there's comments in the chat right now. It's like, you know, this is just an effort to feel like, you know, to make the game current. And like you said, right, like it's like this is like, a lot of people are still playing Sword and Shield, still getting introduced to Sword and Shield, and you're seeing it on the anime. And I think they just want to be able to get something that feels a bit newer into the game that you can still do other stuff with the Alolan stuff with. And I think, like, I don't think anyone's, I think diehards are clamoring for the Alolan Pokemon, but I think like casual players, like, we can wait. That just means that it just gives us plenty of more stuff to go through.
Yeah.
As the months go on.
And so. Netflix, you know, Netflix finally announced when they're coming out with
the new Journey episodes are coming out. Yep.
Yeah, and so I think have the Sword and Shield arc into it. So, you know, maybe there's some synergy going on here. I don't know. It all just seems weird to me. It all, like I said, it got an eyebrow raise out of me when I saw the news.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot to get an eyebrow raise out of me when it comes to Pokemon news, because we deal with so much weird Pokemon stuff. Like, nothing really phases me at this point. But this certainly was like a what?
All right. Before we go to our break, I want to talk about one more, you know, just fun, cool Pokemon thing that is out there. You can get basically a small child sized Piplup plush if you would like. That is a thing that exists now.
Yep. I mean, we knew that the merch tie-ins for Diamond and Pearl were coming. And Piplup is definitely the most popular Pokemon they have. They're doing that Project Piplup over in Japan right now. And so, of course, you can buy a toddler-sized Piplup plush. I'm surprised I was able to say Piplup plush without, like, botching it. I botched it the second time around, but the first time, the time that counts, I said it right. It's the latest in the series of, like, you want a massive Pokemon plush, we're gonna give you a massive Pokemon plush.
Yeah. So. The other thing I wanted to mention too, that we didn't mention when the news came out, but this is, like, it's such a cool thing, I've seen it pop up in my feed a bit, that the Pokemon Company is giving away a replica of the bike from Red and Blue, which I think is just like, which is, just sell that. People would buy that.
The whole thing cracks me up because it's not a functioning bike.
No.
So it doesn't work. No. It's just it is a bike model with no chain, no ability to actually bike around, but it plays music. If you like, push a button, it plays the,
like, what an easy,
what insane.
I know, that's what I'm saying, what an easy licensed opportunity where, like, pair up with a big bike manufacturer and just sell the bikes. Like, what a super, like, what a missed opportunity there.
Having you know, been on vacation for the last 4 days, and, you know, going to the places that I went during vacation, I can state unequivocally that people will pay a lot of money for very stupid things. So, you know, people would buy this bike. Like, 100%. It plays music. It's, you know, and it's like, I think it's like actual, like, metal. Like, I don't think it's like a plastic, like a giant, like, plastic
bike. It's like legit. This thing
has actual, like, rubber treads, and, like, the rubber treads, so the treads have different Pokeballs on it, and then, like, there's etchings on the inside of the tire, so, like, the tire, I don't know, like, the rims, I guess, of the tires of different Pokemon. So there's like Gengar and there's Pikachu and there's like Snorlax and there's like one or two other ones, but they etched into it. I mean, this is like some artisan work of like a generic bicycle. That's what like cracks me up about it. It's like, of all the things that you could make a replica of, like, you know, you can't do like a functioning Poke Flute. At least that's got a Pokeball in it. Nope, we're giving away a generic looking bike that just, like, there's nothing memorable about the bike. There's nothing memorable about the bike other than that you use it and you can go faster in the game. It's a quality of life improvement that you have to work for.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. The other thing, too, I was at Target the other day, and I did not realize that Mega Bloks is selling a giant Pokeball like model kit thing. Like, not model because it's like bootleg Legos, but it's 303 pieces, lights up in the middle, and looks like a giant Pokeball. It's $34.99, and I may go back for it later this week to get it because it looked pretty awesome and I kind of regret not leaving with it.
As a Lego fan, I'm not going to judge you because they make a lot of weird Lego sets that look awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like if you've ever seen like the Lego typewriter or like,
oh, yeah,
the Lego classic Nintendo that like hooks up to a Lego television and you can like, there's like a little crank and it like does displays like the original, like Mario stage 1-1 on it.
So, oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You. But it's like, man, like if I were to pay $35 for like a knockoff Lego thing, I would want it to be of a Pokemon. Just saying. Another weird merchandise thing that, you know, I was catching up on emails and I saw the email hit my desk, my inbox, and I haven't, like, it's not really like article worthy, but the Jazzwares spinoff, so it's like one of the subsidiaries that makes costumes, has like re-upped their licensing agreement, so expect to see a lot more Pokemon costumes in the coming months, because apparently,
well, good, because most of the costumes are have been pretty terrible.
Yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, the fact that they made it like an announcement with it,
right, means that means that they'll
get
more and better.
Yeah,
nice. All right, we're gonna take a quick break and we'll get back, we'll talk about the Pokemon Go boycotts and stuff, and then the big Pokemon Unite discussion. So we will be back in 60 seconds.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay. So, last week, there was a call for a Pokemon Go boycott day, basically. And, you know, a bunch of big Pokemon Go streamers and content creators all shared a note that basically said, hey, you know, outlining a lot of the things that we talked about last week, like, hey, there, you know, these changes, while yes, we appreciate the fact that they were taking into consideration the pandemic and whatever, but overall, it made the game way more accessible for folks with handicaps. It made it more accessible just for, you know, for such a wide audience. And clearly it paid off because Niantic, you know, posted some of its best profits with Pokemon Go over the last year. And so for them to come out and say, oh, hey, we're going to roll back a lot of those, you know, COVID friendly and, you know, in turn, accessibility friendly changes. Deal with it. Man, people did not, rightfully so, like that. And So like I said, it tore through the Pokemon community, and then Niantic releases a statement that says, we're probably still going to do this, right? So they rolled back. They rolled back a lot of the distance stuff for gyms and stops, great, thanks. But it sounds like that it is still going to be very temporary. And they couched it with the reasoning behind it being, well, look, when Pokemon Go first came out, you know, we really want to push for healthy lifestyles and get people out and to meet each other and all that. And like, you can still have all of that and still have the revised distance things. Like that's not Pokemon Go Fest, I think, was a perfect example. There were still people out looking to participate there in ways that, you know, it came at a time where it felt like it was a bit safer for people to go out and go do those things. But also, like, it's just I don't buy that excuse, because it's very clear that people are still going to play the game like that, you know, no matter what, and take into their own considerations, their own safety and things like that. And so it just seemed really, really like a, oh, you caught us, but don't get too used to it.
Yeah.
What are some of your thoughts?
I was not impressed by their statement. It just rang as hollow to me. Like, oh, we're really just looking out for you. It's like, no, right. You're not. Like, if you were really looking out for us, you know, you would take into consideration. So they're like, we're going to start up a task force, and we're going to report back on our findings in a month. And it's like, you're hoping this thing is going to blow over in a month. And I think that if they wait, you know, if they do not, if their stance is, well, our task force found that we want people to get up close to these Pokestops and gyms, and we're going to turn everything back to the way it was, they are going to lose a lot of people. Like, you know, the Pokemon Go community in particular is built on a lot of goodwill. Like, and yep. I say this with all due respect to Niantic and the people who work on Pokemon Go, like the rank and file people. The game has a lot of glitches, and it's not a polished game by any stretch of the imagination. Like, I see weirdo glitches and weirdo flaws all the time. Like, I can't use my Pokemon Go Plus anymore. You know, they basically turned off support for that years ago. There's all sorts of just wild and silly flaws and glitches, and people stick with the game, and there's a lot of just goodwill that's associated with the game, and I think this might be the straw that broke the camel's back here. Because there's always been this sense of, like, well, Pokemon Go, you know, like, Niantic is just this tiny little company that only has, like, 100 employees. Never mind the fact that, you know, like, literally, like, it raised all this capital and has all this money. And Pokemon Go literally prints money for them. But, you know, it's just a tiny little company. And these changes take time to implement. And, you know, boy, it's fun to catch Pokemon in the real world. And, you know, like, everyone has a lot of good memories of Pokemon Go, and so they're willing just to let it ride. And this one was the first one where, like, people do not like billionaires telling you what's good for them. Like, you know, the last thing I want is, like, you know, Jeff Bezos or Richard Branson or Elon Musk to tell me, like, what a fat, slovenly mess I am while going into space. You know, this feels like when I was, like, trying to figure out exactly why people are so mad about this change, like, you know, and people, you know, because, you know, if Niantic had made that, you know, like, announcement a couple of years ago, like, I was, like, trying to think about, like, what about, because Niantic has done stuff like this before, and there hasn't been, like, the pushback. And I think one it's because like these were the first like they talk about they do these quality of life improvements all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's some, but these ones were really good and they made a lot of sense. And also, like, you know, you can't go and talk about, you know, like, this just feels like a money grab at a time that Pokemon Go is making so much money. So much money. It's like, you can't go and, like, be like, oh, man, like, we need to do this thing. And it's like, also, by the way, we made $5 billion off of Pokemon Go last year. It just doesn't, or $2 billion, excuse me. I don't want to, like, overstate how many billions of dollars Pokemon Go has made. But it's like, you know, I'm sorry. Like, I do not buy what they are selling. And that's basically what it comes down to.
Yeah, I think, but I think also, too, there is, I've seen so many big Pokemon Go streamers. Reversal, I've seen, you know, the guys over at It's Super Effective, like A-Drive. These are all guys who have bought IRL streaming rigs to play the game with their community, right? They have all basically said, yeah, nope, that's where I understand that I will probably lose viewers or whatever by not doing this, you know, with my IRL streams, but I cannot in good conscience condone like the choices that Niantic has made, you know, for this game. This game has made the game less inclusive. And so And so it'll be really interesting to see how it all shakes out. I still think we are in the very early days of a lot of this. It'll be interesting to see if this does blow over or not. But I know just even in my own small communities, right? Like I'm part of a Pokemon Go group on Facebook. That's just a bunch of local trainers and whatever. And they are all, you know, they're all like, it's gotten harder to play the game. And I was really, you know, getting into it. Now it's harder for me to play. So I'm probably just going to leave it behind. And it'll be interesting. And but, you know, to have the Reddit community be really upset, to have the streaming community be really upset, to have, you know, just folks on Twitter and whatever be upset, like, you know, okay, you stepped in it, right? Like there are some times where they'll make or do things that are like, okay, well, I mean, it's not the biggest thing in the world, but this one's a big one. So, you know, without belaboring the point for too much, just want to, you know, just say like, you know, look, we are not saying don't go play Pokemon Go. If you still have the ability to play Pokemon Go in a way that is safe and comfortable for you, then by all means, you know, go do it. But it's what it has done for a lot of other people who may not necessarily have those means is, you know, it sucks. But anyway, enough about that. Let's talk about Pokemon Unite, because what we are in week 2, 3, and I still love it. And so I am glad to see the changes that Unite made. Christian, have you played since the changes, or
have you not had a chance? Unplugged from the internet. So, sure. And you know, when I did have Wi-Fi, it certainly wasn't enough to do, like, I wasn't going to, like, test the Wi-Fi strength of, to see if I could get, like, a 10-minute game in. I did, like, follow the changes, like, you know, we covered, I was the one who wrote up about the changes. I'm kind of surprised by which Pokemon, like, Eldegoss, like, I was not expecting that to be the major nerf. Like, I, you know, sometimes I get a little bit of flack because people are like, that's not a nerf, that's a balance change. And it's like, okay, I really feel like Eldegoss got nerfed in this one. Like,
I didn't think Eldegoss, I mean, Eldegoss is a tougher Pokemon to play, at least for me, at least. But like, but I never felt like, with whatever Pokemon I was using, if I saw an Eldegoss, I was like, oh crap, I gotta run, right? Like there, I thought Eldegoss was pretty well balanced in comparison to some like, you know, Gengar and, you know, I would even say Gardevoir to an extent, right? Like, I know Gardevoir is new, and so they may still be getting some data on the usage there, but I mean, those are the two that need it the most. I mean, I think they made some balances to Gengar that I think, you know, they did change some of the cooldown times, which I think make it a bit more fair. But I still think Gengar is still pretty OP at this point. But it was nice to see the changes to Wigglytuff and Charizard, because I would have thought Charizard is more and more as I played, I thought Charizard is probably one of the weaker Pokemon of the set, which seemed weird for a Pokemon that is deemed an all around kind of Pokemon, right? And so, not that I think it needed to be OP, but I just thought it would probably be easier to play with until these changes happened, and now I feel like they have balanced that Pokemon correctly. But you were about to say something about Wigglytuff?
Yeah.
Wigglytuff is basically like OP. You cut out.
Yeah, no. I was about to say, like, and if I recall correctly, like, a couple of Pokemon got, like, minor, like, stat adjustments, but Wigglytuff, like, it got three, like, a major stat overhaul. Like, HP, defense, and special defense all got raised up, and that was the only Pokemon to get that, like, straight up, like, overhaul in terms of its stats balance. And like I said, I think Double Slap, like it's strength, like, you know, like how much damage it actually does, like doubled or something like that. It's like, so yeah. I watched a couple of videos where like I saw it in action. And I was like, oh man, this is going to be fun to play as. And Charizard needed it. Charizard was a popular pick. I think part of the reason why Charizard got, you know, they cranked it up a bit was because a lot of people pick Charizard as their starting Pokemon. And so, you know, they were competitively behind people who picked Pikachu or one of the other Pokemon. So I think that was a big reason why.
Another like not necessarily a buff or nerf, but a change that they made to ranked, which I thought was a nice welcome adjustment, is they have adjusted the increase and decrease of rank after a match. Like what happens. Yeah. So basically, you know, for those who play ranked, know that, you know, if you win, you obviously, you get the gem, you know, to move up, you know, three of them, and then you move to the next rank. But if you're in a rank and you have none of the diamonds and you're, you know, in your last one, like you get points basically for every game that you win. And it seemed like if you lost, you know, you would go way, way down. Now, this was way more noticeable for those who were in master rank, where it seemed like they basically, you know, it feels almost impossible to stay in master rank, just in seeing, I'm not there yet, so I have no idea, but in just seeing a bunch of people who are playing, like it's been really hard to stay there. And so hopefully this helps that a bit. But I thought that was a nice kind of welcome change to as one of the first updates for the game, which was nice.
I was very surprised that they did a balance patch this quickly. And other MOBAs do patches on a pretty regular basis. And the big question was this going to be treated, was this game going to be treated like a real MOBA, or was this going to be a MOBA in name only where it's not really like a live service game? And I think we've got our answer. With this, and they also released two new Hollowares too. We've got like Absol with the top hat, and we've got like a fancy Greninja, if I recall correctly.
Man, but I hate the color scheme on that Absol.
You don't like that like Robin Egg Blue,
Seafoam Green. Ugh.
Like I saw that. It's like I always tried writing an article about it. Like I still haven't figured out like the cadence for Pokemon Unite articles yet. Like as we're doing the coverage for it, like obviously we're going to cover like balanced patches, but like for our League of Legends coverage, we cover like new skins and stuff like that. And it's like, do people really want to know every time there's a new skin?
I think because there's so little, the answer is yes, because I think you're waiting for a good skin for the Pokemon that you main. And for like right now, like Ninetales doesn't have any. And I'm like, where's my Ninetales foil?
Me laugh that you are still a Ninetales main. Like, all power to you. That's a solid Pokemon. Like, no, not knocking on Ninetales at all. But me knowing you as well as I do and how you play video games, one, I'm shocked that you're still playing Pokemon Unite, but two,
Ninetales is my main.
Yeah, I'm surprised that like Ninetales is your main. Like Ninetales is a little bit of a complex Pokemon to play as. Like it is not a beginner Pokemon. I mean, it is a beginner Pokemon. You can get it for free, but it is not the easiest Pokemon. There's a little bit of nuance to
it's it's definitely a Pokemon that you cannot go anywhere alone. And not that you should go anywhere in Pokemon Unite alone, because that defeats the purpose of the game. But you should, Ninetales works really well when you've got a group, and you've got, and you know how to play it. But Ninetales to me is the perfect, it's just ranged enough, but also can also do some damage up close. And so that's kind of why, I like that, that I think the other one, I think Ruzbane in the chat too, or even C. Luigi says Cinderace has become a growing favorite of mine as well, for a lot of the same reasons. But Cinderace got nerfed quite a bit. I mean, Blaze Kick got a damage decrease, and Feint got downgraded, and Pyro Ball. Well, Pyro Ball I think got an increase, but it doesn't feel like it did because everything else is. It got weakened.
I personally am excited to be able to use Venusaur a lot more effectively, because I know that the Unite move got a big, boost in damage, and Solar Beam, received like a second cooldown. So I'm like, oh man, I'm going to get like three more Solar Beams off in the game. Like, oh yeah.
Zeraora. Like, if you can figure that Pokemon out, is still good. Gosh, what a like that is a. I don't want to say Zeraora is overpowered, because Zeraora is a hard Pokemon to play. But if you can master Zeraora, man, you're golden.
One of my favorite games that I've played in Pokemon Unite, it was the other team had the Zeraora, who, Zeraora and Gengar are both junglers. So they hang to that middle area. You want to level that thing up as quick as you possible. And then you go and run up and down. You try to either pick off, Pokemon that are by themselves, or you support your team. And for whatever reason, the Zeraora kept showing up at the worst possible time for him. And so he would go after one of my teammates or two of my teammates, and I don't know if he wasn't playing it right or what, but it always come up against the Zeraora where it was down to a quarter health, and I'd be like, "Hello, Solar Beam, goodbye, Zeraora," and I sniped him six times in a game. It was insane. Yep. I was like, dude, stay away from me. I'm just going to kill you. But it's and what are you doing? What are you doing that's causing your health to be so low so much of the time? They would just run into my lane. And I was goodbye. Bye. Just go away. I felt so bad through. I was this has to be a kid who's playing this.
Yeah. I will say though, my early main, Talonflame, got some increases too, which have made that Pokemon way easier to play. I get it. I mean, it's basically the starter Pokemon, but it is way easier to play now. And you won't feel as, alone basically when, if you get caught kind of in a 1v1 situation against another Pokemon. But so that was really nice to see as well. So, yeah, as far as like, you know, strategies go and, you know, just other kind of gameplay tips, a lot of it really is Pokemon specific, right? Like there's, like Christian said, you know, there are some Pokemon that are, or junglers, right? Well, there are Pokemon that you want to get out into the jungle, you know, and just beat up on as much Pokemon as you can to level up, because you need to level up as fast as possible. And then there are others that like you have a bit of a time for, but my loop is usually that I get the, you know, the first, I go usually bottom lane, so I do the Aipom, and then I go into, I get the Ludicolo and the oh crap, what's the Pokemon with the giant horns? No, it's not a
the Bouffalant. Are you thinking?
Yeah, the Bouffalant. The Bouffalant, and then like come back around and go after, you know, some of the Pokemon that you find on the bottom row, and that seems to have been, for someone who mains Ninetales, getting to Ninetales as fast as possible is important, because it is. It, at least to me, it feels like it is harder to level up Ninetales once you kind of get past that initial hurdle. And once you do and just start stacking some stuff, it really becomes a lot. But that's usually my loop, it does well for me.
Yeah, I look forward to eventually actually playing a game with you.
When we should.
Not on the road. We should go and try to do that. Now that I showed you how to become friends on Pokemon Unite, I wrote that article and like four people like commented like on Twitter and stuff. Like, I'm pretty sure Christian wrote this article for Chim. I'm
like, they made it just so weird. Like, why are there like 45 different ways to identify someone in this game? And I assume it's because it's going to be on mobile soon. And so like, you're going to need to integrate with, you know, people who log in with their Apple IDs or their Android IDs or whatever. And so, but gosh, man, they do not make it. They do not make it easy to at least figure out at first. Then once you figure it out, it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Yeah. And so when I log on tonight, I'll make sure to share mine on Twitter. So if you're not following me at Jim Biscardi and at Pokemon Pod CB, then, you know, make sure you are you're doing that. We'll get it on there. But Christian, are you able to do Pokemon Fact of the Week stuff right now? Or do you need to take the lead on that?
Is a Pokemon encyclopedia, Jim. Of course I can do the Poke Fact of the Week. I will need your help to look up a little something for me, because when I was doing my research this morning, I didn't realize this until after I'd hopped into the driver's seat. So I was like, I can't look this up. So while I give off the main Poke Fact of the Week, can you look up, is Natu a psychic flying, or is it a pure psychic Pokemon? I'm pretty sure it's a psychic flying, which makes its
Poke Fact. I can tell you in a second.
Really weird,
It is psychic flying.
Okay, then I've got a two-parter. So we're continuing our trek around the Pokedex, Johto Pokedex. We're talking about Natu and Zatu. Zatu's Pokedex entry is one of those rare Pokedex entries that actually references the real world. Like, of course, in these early Pokemon games, the idea was that this is really like actual world. Mew comes from South America. You know, there's an actual place that Mew is associated with. Zatu is another one, which obviously Zatu's motif is supposed to be based off of. To me, it looks like a, you know, Native American First Nations, you know, like a totem pole. But Zatu's Pokedex entries references South America and talks about how in South American legends, Zatu, you know, it talks about how one eye is always looking into the future and the other eye is always looking into the past. But the interesting thing is, it's one of those like handful of Pokemon. There's like two or three of these early Pokemon that they talk about like South America or like real world, actual places. And this is one of them. And it lasts a really long way into the game. Like, you know, I'm pretty sure like we continue to see this up until like Gen 4 or Gen 5's Pokedex entries, which I think is really interesting. Natu, the strange thing is, and like I said, I read the Pokedex entries for that, and then I didn't think about it until like I had hopped into the car, so I couldn't like cross-reference at all. Natu, they constantly talk about the fact that its wings are not developed. So it does, it climbs trees instead of flies up the trees. Like, it doesn't really possess the ability to fly.
Its jumping power is outstanding.
Exactly. Which is weird because it's a flying Pokemon. which holds. Like, Dodrio and, Doduo and Dodrio are also normal flying type Pokemon. That also, but
they're based off like ostriches, and they don't fly.
You know, I saw real life ostriches this week. That was really cool. Yeah, I that was interesting. We actually saw like ostrich eggs that had been laid by an ostrich like that morning.
Oh wow!
So, yeah,
I think that, so the thing I love about of Zatu is basically it's like the Pokemon version of the Watcher, where like he can see everything that is happening and just like decides, and he goes and will not try to change it.
Yeah, right?
But I think in one of them it says like he is powerless to change them, and so that's why he doesn't care. But like, I just love an Ultra Moon. That's it. While it can see the future, it has no desire to change it. It's like, nope, that's going to be a problem, and I don't want to get involved. So, it's just going to happen.
But, and you compare that to, like, Absol, which, you know, Absol always appears before times of, like, disaster, and it's, like, trying to warn people, but it's, like, heralded as, like, this harbinger of disaster. And, compare that with Zatu. It's like, oh, yeah, this place is about to get blown up by a volcano. Whatevs.
But did you think, like, if a bunch of Zatus got together and a flock of Zatus can probably change something for the better as opposed to maybe one individually?
Yeah, I mean, you would think that. Okay, really quick side question, because I've got, once again, I'm driving, so, you know, not yep. all of my mental capacity is being dedicated to podcasting. What's the name of the main Watcher in the Marvel Universe?
Uatu.
Okay. Oh, yeah. It's Uatu. So we've got Zatu, the Pokemon that watches and never interferes. And we have Uatu, the big-headed dude who also watches but never interferes. Except for, like, the dozen or so times that he does actually interfere.
Right.
Like, right. For someone who's like, you know, like, I can never interfere, he interferes an awful lot. just pointing it out there. That gimmick has run its course, buddy. Anyways, but yeah, so, you know, this Zatu and Natu are actually some of my favorite, like, Gen 2 Pokemon. I hold a deep fondness for all the Johto Pokemon, but these two are, like, my favorite. I had a Zatu on my team during my Pokemon Gold and Pokemon Silver run-throughs. Like, I loved this Pokemon.
Yeah. No, for sure. All right, well, there's your Pokemon Fact of the Week. Before we go, we did get a new review in. I was saying it was a really nice one, so I wanted to read it. This one comes from Captain Bowman. Tops my podcast chart every week. This podcast really covers everything in all caps, Pokemon. I have been a listener for a long time, and I'm always excited to see new episodes appear in my playlist queue. Love to hear from each individual's perspective and specialties each week. Megan, Jim, and Christian. I was excited to hear that this week, amongst the TCG, anime, Pokemon Go, in the games, that Pokemon Unite was added to the list of things I can look forward to listening out for. You guys do a great job, and as a Pokemon fan of 25 years, keep up the good work. Favorite Pokemon from the original 151 is Kangaskhan. Great choice. Favorite Solid. Pokemon overall is Delmize. And favorite Pokemon Unite is Cramorant. Oh, that's you need some skill to play Cramorant, so I appreciate the hustle to make that one work. Thanks for the updates, and I'll keep looking forward to them, and hopefully I can stop by for the live show one of these weeks. Thank you. Thank you, Captain Bowman. That is one of the best ways to help support the show. If you're asking yourself, man, I love this show, would love to do my part as part of this community, leaving us a review on iTunes is one of the best ways you can do it. Otherwise, feel free to join us live on Twitch every Monday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. And then the episodes usually go live shortly thereafter, usually about 2 or 3 hours after we go live on Mondays. And so be on the lookout for that. Otherwise, you can follow us on Twitter. At Pokemon Pod CB is the official account for the show. I'm at Jim Viscardi. Christian's at Seahoff or Seabus. And until next time, folks, may the shiny luck be in your favor. Hope you can get to master level in Unite. And overall, just stay safe, folks. We'll catch you next week.